the other. You never eat off the top, and you never eat just randomly. To do so is considered rude. Go to the bank. The lines are really long. You think our lines are long. They can take hours and hours, half a day. Other Mozambicans in line just don't seem irritated at this at all. And they're not irritated when people cut in line. Does that bother you? That's rude, isn't it? Not to them. People cut in line. That's just the way. I don't know how they figure that out, but that drives me crazy. People in line say, "Hey, would you save my spot?" And they leave for 4 hours. And come back, and they still have a spot saved. Because that's how long the line is. They get all their shopping done, all their errands. It drives Chad and Amy nuts. If anyone comes to visit you, the first thing you do is to offer, is to greet them, then offer them a seat, offer them a chair. And if you don't do that, you are breaking cultural rules. One of their teammates answered the door, greeted the person, and said, "Would you like a chair?" And the lady stood there looking bewildered. Finally, she motioned to the chair and she went and sat down. After the visit, it came time to go, and the lady picked up the chair and left with it. Because she had offered her her chair. So this missionary team lady had to awkwardly go chase her down and say, "That's not what I meant. I'm sorry about the confusion. Can I have my chair back?" Which was probably also considered pretty rude, because in the Mozambican culture, love equals giving. And if you, a loving handshake to a Mozambican is when you've got a little cash in your palm. Now, we think that's weird and that's wrong and that's bribery, that's whatever. But that's how you show love in Mozambique. If you go to visit someone and they greet you, they offer you a seat, not a chair, and you sit down in it, the visitor is supposed to sit there and remain silent, not say a word until the host speaks first. And this makes for some awkward moments if you don't know that rule. So the Westerholms have found themselves breaking a lot of cultural rules, and unintentionally, they've been rude. Before I tell you one of my rude stories, some of you know that I have some rude stories. I want to just remind you of something. I combed some medical and psychiatric reference journals and found some of the symptoms, just so you think I don't think I'm making this up, symptoms with people who have adult ADD, okay? Easily distracted, forgetful, procrastination, inability to complete things, disorganization, messiness, clutter. Have you seen my truck? A sense of internal restlessness and constantly active. A sense that your mind is always active and you can't shut it down. Jumps from one topic to another. Frequently late or rushed. Difficulty estimating how much time something will take. I can't believe Liz is not over here saying amen after every one of these. But here's two I really want you to pay attention to. Adults with ADD tend to be very impatient with low frustration tolerance. And they have behavioral or verbal impulsiveness. I'm setting up my story. One day I was in a thrift store. Happened to be that Bibles for China thrift store over on Macon, near the old Bass Pro Shop. And there was this lady in the store talking on her phone, and she was talking so loud. I mean, it's like she was yelling. I could hear her from, I was on the opposite end of the store, and I could hear her conversation plainly, and I was getting worked up. I'm thinking, how rude. How rude of this lady. Doesn't she know we can all hear it? We don't want to hear it. And he just kept going and going and going. So I go into the changing room, and I'm trying on a shirt or something. She comes into the changing room next to me, and she's still talking loudly. And she's going on and on about something. I wish I could remember what she was talking about. And I could just feel my temperature rising, you know. And I'm thinking, I'm not thinking this, but here's what's happening. I'm becoming very impatient. My low frustration tolerance levels, impulsiveness is about to erupt. So I could feel it. And I just say, when I've had enough, really loud, louder than what she's saying, "Nobody cares!" And then she, I heard her say, "Oh, no, you didn't." And she said, "Hang on just a minute." Buddy, I got out of that changing room as fast as I could. I went to the opposite end of the store. I'm looking at the racks of clothes, you know. She didn't find me. But I never lost her because she never stopped talking on that phone the whole time. All the way, I got behind her in the checkout line. She's, I'm just glad I kind of got that out of me. I mean, I don't know what I'd done if I was right behind her and that kind of welled up inside of me. So basically what I'm saying is, yes, I can be rude, but I have an excuse. I have a diagnosis, okay? What's your problem? Now, we know that that is not exactly true. It is true, but it's not really an excuse. And we all find ourselves doing rude things, sometimes unintentionally because we don't really understand the rules, but come on. We know the rules, don't we? We know what's rude. What about these people? Sometimes I wonder if they know the cultural rules of what is rude, and do they really care? Sherlock Holmes is so rude, you know? And Simon, oh my goodness. At least Simon does have an emotional side. Occasionally you'll see him cry, you know, but usually he's just... And I had to put this in here because there's a Super Bowl, but this guy is really rude. Bill Belichick. What's their excuse? Rude behavior, rude language, rude attitudes. Some of us show rudeness in our body language. Teenagers, I'm talking to you. Parents, have you ever, you can't really see my eyes, but when those eyes roll back in their head like they're possessed by a demon, that's so rude, isn't it? And it's rude when they stomp off till they slam their door. It's not just teenagers, though, is it? We all exhibit rude behaviors, rude attitudes and body language, rude language when we curse. It's rude, especially if you do it in front of a child or someone who it really offends. It's just rude. And we may not intend it to be rude. We may not really think it through. Usually it's a jump to and hurry and do it impulsive thing, right? We don't really stop and think. But I think there's something all four of these guys have in common with us. And they're rude because of their self-importance. Sherlock Holmes is the smartest man in the world. He's important. Bill Belichick, how many Super Bowls has he won, John? I mean, come on. The guy's a football genius. He has a reason to think he's important. All these people are talented or have reasons to think they're important. Self-importance is what causes our rudeness, I think. That and something else, a lack of love. Self-importance and a lack of love. You know what? We'll talk about 1 Corinthians 13. Can we read the definition of love again? We'll probably do this almost every Sunday, but let's read it aloud again. Love is patient. Love is kind. It is not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hope, always perseveres. Love never fails. Now, I have been using the NIV. This comes from the new NIV, the new International Version that came out a few years ago. And when they with that new version, they changed some of the wording. And at the beginning of verse 5, where it says, it does not dishonor others, if you look in the old NIV, it says, love is not rude. I like this one better, does not dishonor others. But what does it even mean to say, don't be rude? Parents, I'm just a little audience participation here. Parents, how many, just give me a phrase when you've said to your child, don't do that, it's rude. Don't, somebody tell me. Don't disrespect people, that's rude. What else? Don't chew with your mouth full, that's rude. Come on. Don't pick your nose. And there's a part B to that, Mary. Don't pick your nose and don't eat it. It's just rude. I heard the story the other day. A kid picked a nose and they were like, "And don't you eat that?" And the kid said this, "But I'm hungry." Okay. What other do not do this? Anybody else? What? Don't talk with your mouth full of food. Don't scream at me. We have all these rules that we learn as little kids. Our parents teach us this is what it means to be rude. This is what it means to be rude. But this idea of rude, even the word rude, seems weak to me. Because I think we go straight to those little petty things about don't pass gas in public, you know, don't pick your nose, don't chew with your mouth full of food. I mean, don't chew with your mouth open. Don't talk with your mouth full of food. Don't cut in line. These are all good rules, but I think the idea of rudeness goes deeper than that. So I thought we would look at several different versions real quickly. Now, the NIV, this is the old NIV, right? Love is not rude, self-seeking, or easily angered. Now, I really want to go into self-seeking, easily angered, but I'm not allowed to because that's coming in the coming weeks. I'm trying to not step on anybody else's toes, but it's really hard because they're so interconnected. All right, the New American Standard Version says, love does not act unbecomingly. The Message, love doesn't force itself on others. The King James Version, love doth not itself behave itself unseemly. And The Voice, it's never rude, crude, or indecent. And they all say it's not self-absorbed, not self-seeking. So that is a real good clue as to what he's meaning, that next phrase. So I looked up the Greek word here that's translated rude or unbecomingly, unseemly. And I'm not going to go into all that, but here's some of the characteristics I came up with, what it really means to be rude. It means to live contrary, to act contrary to a standard of decency, to act disgracefully or dishonorably, to be indecent in your behavior, to act or speak offensively or even shamefully. That's a little bit deeper definition than this idea of social politeness. It goes a lot deeper than that. Luke tells a story, if you want to turn there, Luke chapter 7 in your Bibles, starting verse 36. Jesus is invited to a guy's home for dinner. His name is Simon. He's a Pharisee. Now, Pharisees are known for their righteousness and their holiness, their strict adherence to religious rules. And a lot of them were overly strict, confining, so much so. And they would impose that on other people. You could only walk so many steps on the Sabbath. And, you know, they took the commandments of the Lord and they just expanded them. It's like, okay, here's the commandments of the Lord, right? Here's the commandments of the Lord. What they did is they built outer rings around it to protect the inner core. So you, just to make sure you didn't break the law of the Lord. And those outer rings weren't, they were suggestions and good ideas at first that became kind of like law. And if you even broke the outer ring, they said, then you're sinning, right? So they took it very seriously and went a little bit too far with it. So in Luke chapter 7, before I start reading this, I want to give you a little background. In the New Testament world, hospitality was one of the most important virtues. If you were inhospitable to someone, it was really, really bad. We don't understand that. We should be hospitable. We know we should be hospitable. But they were really serious about it. Kind of like in Mozambique, when a guest comes to your home, you greet them, and the first thing you do, you offer them a seat. And then they wait for you to speak. Well, there were rules when you invited someone into your house. If you invited someone into your house as a guest, the first thing happened was you greeted them with a kiss. Kiss on the cheek. You've seen Europeans come there, especially Russians, yeah, mwah, mwah, you know, they kiss both cheeks. It's a way of greeting. It's similar to that. They kissed the people on the cheek. And then they offered them a place where they could wash their feet. And there's just a little room with a bench and a pail of water and a towel. But the guest didn't wash his own feet. There was a servant, and that was his job. And it was the lowest form of servants, of all the servant household servants. And he would wash your guest's feet. Why? Because they wore sandals, or they didn't have shoes, and all the paths were dusty and muddy, and animal droppings, so feet were nasty. And in that little room in the front with the bench and the pail and the towel and the servants washing the feet, the guest would also provide, the host would provide his guest with a pair of house shoes. Leave your sandals at the door because they're dirty. Put these slippers on and you wear these in my house. And that was a sign of respect and honor. It was rude not to offer those things. And not just rude as in impolite. It was a serious offense. If the guest coming to your house was a special person, someone of some well-known, a rabbi or someone important leader in town, you would go further than just washing their feet. You would offer them some olive oil to put on their forehead and hair to freshen up. And when you didn't do that, that was an offense. So now, with that set up, let's read parts of Luke chapter 7. It's not going to be up on here on the screen, okay? So you need to follow along in your word. Chapter 7, verse 36. When one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. A woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, so she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she's a sinner. And Jesus answered him, Simon, I have something to tell you. Two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back. So he forgave the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon replied, I suppose the one who owed him the bigger debt. You have judged correctly, Jesus said. Let's pause right there. Pharisees having a party. Probably there are a bunch of other Pharisees there, his mates. They're having a feast, a dinner. Jesus is the invited guest. He is supposed to be the chief guest. And then this woman, this sinful woman, crashes the party. How rude to show up to a party uninvited. And not just to show up, but to take center stage. All eyes were on this woman. She's causing a scene. She's weeping. She's crying. She takes down her hair, which was a very provocative act in public for a woman to let down her hair. She lets down her hair. She's crying on his feet, and she's wiping them, and she takes this really expensive perfume and pours it. She's stealing the show. This feast is not about her. Simon did not invite her. How rude. I mean, think about it. You have some people over, and you work hard, and you get your house ready, and you make this meal. And all of a sudden, some stranger just shows up. And not just a stranger. You know this person has a reputation of being not a good person. And they start doing something like this. I mean, what are you going to be thinking? What in the world is going on? What? Where am I? Who is this? How rude. Let's keep going. Verse 44. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? How could he not? How could he not see her? I came into your house and you did not give me any water for my feet. But she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You, Simon, did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little, what? Loves little. Remember that. Whoever has forgiven little, loves little. Then Jesus said to her, your sins are forgiven. The other guests began to say among themselves, Who is this guy who even forgives sins? And Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Let's compare Simon and this lady real quick. Simon, he offers no way to wash Jesus' feet. The lady washes her feet with her tears and wipes it with her hair. Simon gives no greeting, kiss of welcome. The woman just keeps kissing his feet over and over. Simon's acts, there's no olive oil for Jesus' hair, and she poured perfume all over his feet. Who is the rude one? Who's the one who showed love? Because those two things are connected. 1 Corinthians 13 includes love is not rude as part of the definition for a reason. Rudeness, we know, is somehow connected to love. And this is a great example. Simon didn't really love Jesus. He showed it by his actions. Not just these actions we listed up here with the washing the feet and the kissing and the oil. Remember what he thought to himself when the lady started washing Jesus' feet? He said, if this guy were really a prophet, he would know who this is and what kind of woman she is. So he didn't love Jesus. He did not believe in Jesus. And this woman knew who Jesus was, believed him, and loved him. The woman is not the rude one here. It's Simon. Simon is the one who's the rude one. Here's something we can remember. Rudeness stems from self-importance. And I include that. I get that from the story Jesus tells about the one who, which one loves more? And Simon replies, the one who has been forgiven the most. Who loves least? The one who has been forgiven the least. Did Simon even think he needed forgiveness? No. He didn't get it. He was full of himself. He was self-righteous. He thought of himself as somebody important. Why else would he not demean himself, lower himself to let Jesus wash his feet, lower himself to give Jesus a kiss on the cheek? Why would he not look? Because he is puffed up. He is full of himself. So rudeness stems from self-importance. And you know this is true. Why did I go off on that lady in the thrift store? Because I was full of myself. I was thinking about me and how I'm irritated and how she's trespassing on my comfort. Rudeness is always connected to self-importance or self-righteousness. When you go to a restaurant and your server's got something wrong, maybe you let it slide the first time. They come back and now your food's cold. And the third time, and whoa, you know, sometimes, ooh, I know some people in my family, it didn't take three times. That first time it was like, rah, the bear comes out. Why? Why do we get upset of our servers and restaurant people? Because we're not getting what we think we deserve. We're not getting what we pay for. It's self-importance. And if we're not careful, that will lead to rudeness. Rudeness also stems from a lack of intentional love. We can say we love people, but if we're not intentional about that love, rudeness is going to slip in. I know this firsthand because my mouth gets me in trouble a lot, a sense of humor. And some of you have the similar sense of humor as I do. It's biting, it's sarcastic. We speak before we think. And when I do it, I'm thinking, this is going to be funny. That's what I'm thinking, right? Well, this is going to be funny. I got, you know, it just comes to me. It's like I'm inspired with this joke, this one-liner. I'm thinking, oh, this is a good one. This is, I got to get it out. And it's about me. And in the process, how many times have I hurt one of your feelings? And I caused shame for you. I dishonored you. All because I wanted people to look at me and laugh. It's because, I love you. But I was not intentional about my love. And I was full of myself. Am I speaking to blank walls or are you with me? Okay. Love is not rude. It's not offensive. It does not dishonor. It does not behave indecently or disgracefully. Love is courteous. Love is kind. Love is full of graciousness. Love is decent. At the end of chapter 14, Paul says, we talk about the craziness in their worship service in the Corinthians. He ends chapter 14 by saying, do all things. Somebody help me. Huh? Come on, some of you old Church of Christ people, you know this phrase. Thank you. One more time. Decent and in order. Do all things decent and in order. And it's true. Even the way we relate to people, the way we show our love. So, this week, when you're at the restaurant, maybe today, and something doesn't go right, I want you to pause and I want you to ask yourself two questions. Maybe it's not just the restaurant, maybe it's at work. Maybe one of your coworkers just keeps messing up and you're having to clean up their work over and over and over. Maybe your minister keeps spilling water on the floor and you have to come behind him and clean it over and over. Maybe it's at work, maybe it's at family, maybe it's at school, and somebody is getting on your nerves. Is that going to happen this week? That's going to happen this week. Somebody is going to get on your nerves. I want us to all take our remote controls and push pause. Just for a second. Push pause. Even if you have to go like this and nobody knows what you're doing, you're pushing pause, okay? You're reminding yourself, pause, and ask yourself two questions. Am I acting out of love? And am I thinking myself too highly? That's your assignment this week. Push pause and ask yourself two questions. Am I thinking too highly of myself? And are my actions that I'm thinking about doing, the words I'm about to say, will that show love to this person? I bet if we do that, we're going to have a pretty good week this week. I bet if we continually do that, people will be more open to the message we have about Jesus. If you go off on your server, I've seen people do this. They go off on their server, then they leave a little gospel track as they leave. That's ridiculous. We have to show love in order to bring people to Jesus. I want to challenge you this week. Push pause. Ask yourself, am I showing love? And am I being too self-important in my own mind? Father, thank you for this word today. Thank you for the example of this woman who came and blessed Jesus by worshiping him and washing his feet and giving an expensive gift and just showing her love, her gratitude, showing that Jesus was more important than her, and that Jesus was more important than even social conventions. Help us to be more like this lady and less like Simon. We need your help to do this, God. Please help us this week. We pray this through Christ's name. Amen.